Welcome to the MRBC podcast. Let's join Pastor Tim Yazel for today's message.
Today we're going to look at some moms in the Old Testament, and I want us to look at these moms in perhaps a little different way. First of all, how many of you have ever heard of the woman by the name of Shiphrah? Anybody ever heard of Shiphrah? Wow. Wow, we got a group in here that studies. How many of you have ever heard of Puah? Okay, several of you. Goodness, that's impressive. I am impressed. I can just stop right now and let you ladies explain the message here today. But these ladies are found in the Old Testament, and these ladies are incredible women that most of us have never heard of, or if we have, we've forgotten that we've heard of them. But these two women, whose names that we hardly know, Shiphrah and Puah, saved an entire nation. They saved an entire nation, and they did that by saving a baby by the name of Moses. You see, humanly speaking, Moses didn't have a chance. He should not have made it. He should not have survived. His parents were living in slavery and poverty, and they were also living in a foreign land. And at the moment of birth, Moses had a death sentence on him. He was sentenced to death from the very moment of birth. By all rights, Moses should never have seen his first day of life, should not have experienced one full day of life. Had he been a girl, he'd have been okay, but since he was a boy, his chances of survival, his life expectancy was zero. You see, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, Pharaoh was afraid of the Hebrew people. Scholars tell us that by the time the Hebrew people left Egypt, they were anywhere from about 4 million to 13.5 million in population. And Pharaoh was concerned that the Hebrews were growing too rapidly. They were reproducing too often. And he was afraid that before long, the Hebrews would be stronger than all the armies of Egypt. And so, in order to deal with this problem, he ordered that all boy babies be killed. And it was into this very world that Moses came. A Jewish man by the name of Amram and his wife, a Jewish woman by the name of Jochebed, were living in slavery in Egypt when they learned that they were expecting a child. What a horrible time to be with child. You couldn't have found a worse time to be expecting. Normally, when you get the news that you're going to have a baby, there's celebration in the home. But I'm sure that when Amram and Jochebed found out that they were expecting, there was great concern, great fear because of Pharaoh's edict. And yet we see through this story and through this account here in Exodus chapters 1 and 2 that Jochebed's courage saved her baby. And by saving her baby, she saved her people. She was able to bring about a security to her people that saved her people from extermination, from extinction. Jochebed, because of her courage, did things that she probably would not have done otherwise. And what an incredible woman Jochebed was. Talk about an awesome mother. Because of her courage, she saved her child who grew up to be the one that delivered the Hebrew people from slavery, bondage in Egypt. She truly was a remarkable woman, but it doesn't stop there. We're going to see her story and the story of Moses in Exodus chapters 1 and 2 this morning. Let's take a look at Exodus chapter 1, and I'd like to begin reading with verse 15. Exodus chapter 1, beginning with verse 15. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. So we see here that Pharaoh has issued his command that the boy babies be killed. And he told the midwives that they were the ones that were to carry out the command. The midwives, who probably were doing what they did because they loved babies so much, the midwives were to be the ones who would carry out this genocide, this murder of the boy babies. But we see here in Exodus 1 that these two midwives, Shiphrah and Puah, feared God more than they feared Pharaoh. And so because of that, they disobeyed the command of Pharaoh and they let the boy babies live, even though they knew it could possibly cost them their lives for doing so. They simply feared God more than they feared the king. On down into verse 20, if you could drop down there. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very greatly. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. So we see these two midwives obeying God rather than obeying the king of Egypt. And as the result of their obedience, God gave these midwives families of their own. He gave them husbands. He gave them children. He blessed them for their obedience. And folks, I can stand here this morning and assure you that God always honors and blesses obedience. That goes for any of us. God always honors and blesses obedience. And there is no better way of living. There's no better way of life than the life of obedience. It's the best way to live. So we see these two midwives, by faith, because they feared God, we see them disobeying the Pharaoh. And so he enlists all of his people. Pharaoh charged all of his people, if you see one of these Hebrew babies born and it's a boy, you're to throw him in the river. You are to put him in the river. The river will kill him. He will drown. Remember the river. It's very important. And then if you could flip on over to chapter 2, Exodus chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. So we see here, Moses is under a death threat. By faith, his mother Jochebed hid him for as long as she could possibly hide him. She tried to keep her pregnancy from people. And then when the baby was born, she hid him in her tent. The baby never left the tent. She tried to keep the fact that she had a baby boy from anyone else, even among the Hebrews. By faith, she hid her boy. But by the time he was 3 months old, she couldn't hide him any longer. She knew people were going to find out. And so she made a boat, so to speak. She made it out of reeds, and she covered it with pitch to waterproof it. And she put Moses in the basket, and she put the basket in the river. The very river where Moses was supposed to have been thrown when he was born. But because of the fear of God, Moses was spared from being thrown in the river. And so now Moses is placed in this little boat, and he's placed in the reeds along the edge of the river. Now, I've had a chance to go to Africa twice and train pastors over in Africa, teaching them seminary classes. And in traveling from one city to another in Uganda, I actually had a chance to cross the Nile River and to see the Nile River and to drive alongside the Nile River for many, many miles. And in certain places, you can see the papyrus growing right down by the river's edge, and actually into the river the papyrus would grow. And there were places where it looked like the papyrus went a good 100 yards out into the river. So if you wanted to get into the river, you'd have to wade through the papyrus, through the reeds, to get out into the deep of the river. And so I can picture this. Jochebed put Moses in this basket, this waterproof basket, and she laid it among the reeds. Now, any number of people could have discovered Moses there in the basket in the reeds. But it was the princess, the king's daughter, Pharaoh's daughter, that came along and discovered Moses there in the reeds. Now, folks, I got to tell you, it's no accident that it was Pharaoh's daughter that discovered Moses. I mean, it could have been anyone. That river is used for all kinds of things. It's busy. There are people there all the time. And yet it was Pharaoh's daughter that found the baby. God was in complete control of the circumstances. Even though the circumstances were horrible, God was in complete control. God had a plan. God already had it figured out what he was going to do and what was going to happen. He was going to allow this baby to live. He was going to allow Moses to grow to manhood. And he was going to use Moses. God was going to use Moses to deliver God's people from slavery in Egypt. Moses was God's tool to deliver God's people out of slavery. And so God was in control. There were no accidents. Let's read on verse 7 if we could. Then said his sister, Moses' sister, to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Now, I don't know if you've noticed it yet in just what we've read this morning, but Moses owed his life to 4 very godly women. Moses would have been nothing without these four godly women in his life. Moses wouldn't even have been for very long without these four godly women. First, there were the two God-fearing midwives who were willing to risk their own lives in order to disobey Pharaoh's order, his command. Man, what incredible women these were. I mean, what did they have to gain from disobeying Pharaoh? You know, Pharaoh was really hard on the Hebrew people. But Pharaoh needed these two midwives. He needed their cooperation. They were in good with Pharaoh, so to speak. What did they possibly have to gain from disobeying Pharaoh? Well, it's just that they feared God more than they feared Pharaoh, and they were willing to risk their own lives. Not only did they save Moses, but they saved the entire nation of Israel by saving Moses. And most of us don't even remember their names. That's the first two incredible women in Moses' life. But there were two other godly women that were very important to Moses. There was Moses' sister Miriam. Now, Jochebed didn't just say, well, goodbye, baby Moses, and put him in the boat and give him a little shove out into the river and hope for the best. She sent her daughter to watch over Moses in the river. And it was Moses' sister Miriam who planted the idea in Pharaoh's daughter's head that she needed somebody to nurse the baby, and why not one of the Hebrew women? And so Pharaoh's daughter rescued the baby, called for one of the Hebrew women, and paid her to nurse her own baby. She paid her to keep her own baby alive. Now, not only did God use four godly women in Moses' life, but he also used one pagan woman in Moses' life, Pharaoh's daughter. If it weren't for the women in his life, Moses never would have been. And then, of course, the fourth godly woman that God used in Moses' life is his birth mother, Jochebed. What a woman of faith. What a woman of courage. What a strong woman Jochebed was. She was willing to give up her son in order to save her son. What a tough choice. What a tough thing to do. But she was willing to personally take a stand against the evil that wanted to murder her son and eradicate her people. I think Jochebed did what any mother would want to do, but may not always have the courage to do. Jochebed determined in her own heart that she was going to be obedient to God, that she was going to also fear God. Jochebed determined in her heart that she would stand against these evil forces. She made her choice. She made her decision. In God's Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, we read in verse 23, Hebrews 11, 23, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment." By faith, Jochebed and Amram hid Moses for 3 months. Jochebed had a plan. Not only did her plan work, not only was Moses' life saved, Jochebed was paid to carry out the plan. And so Jochebed nursed Moses until he was weaned. At some point in his life, and we're not told exactly when, it might have been as soon as he was weaned, it might have been much later, at a certain age, Pharaoh's daughter took Moses as her own son. She gave Moses her own name. She brought Moses to live in her own house. We don't know how old he was. If she was smart, she also waited until he was potty trained. If she was really smart, she waited until he was 20, after the teenage years. Just joking, young folks. But at some point, Pharaoh's daughter claimed Moses as her own son. He left the home of his mom and dad. He left his Hebrew people. And he went to grow up with all of the wealth and all of the privileges that go with being a part of the king's family. The princess gave Moses the best education that was available in all of Egypt. She prepared him for the best opportunities that would be afforded to him. I'm sure he was being prepared for leadership, maybe even being prepared to take over the kingdom after the current Pharaoh died. She gave him every possibility he could imagine. Materially, Moses could have had anything that Moses wanted. Romantically, Moses could have had any girl or any number of girls that he wanted for his wife as the prince of Egypt, his choice. Moses was given all of it. He was given everything. Everything that one's heart could imagine, he was given. And yet, all that being available to him, yet we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 26, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses could have had any pleasure that was available in Egypt. He could have chosen any pleasure, any sin that he saw, that he wanted. It was his. He was Pharaoh's grandson. Anything was available to him. Any toy? He could have had the latest sports chariot if he wanted it. You know, for his 16th birthday. It was all available to Moses. He was living a charmed life with a silver spoon in his mouth. And yet, when Moses became a man, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be called the prince of Egypt. He refused all of the privileges and benefits that went with being Pharaoh's grandson. And he chose rather to suffer with his people, the Hebrew people, the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And my question is, why? Why did he make that choice? Why did he choose the path of suffering rather than the path of privilege? Why did he choose the path of suffering rather than the path of sin? Why would he have done that? He was raised as a pagan in a pagan household. Why did Moses make the choice that he made? Maybe I should ask, how did he make the choice that he made? How in the world did he make this choice? All I can point to, all that I can think as a possibility for why Moses made the choice that he made, was that after Moses was discovered by Pharaoh's daughter, he was sent to live in a Hebrew household. He was sent to live with his mother and father to be nursed at least until he was weaned. He was back home with his mother and father, people of great faith, people of great courage, people who would rather obey God, even if it meant losing their son, than to obey the king. We're not told how long he was there. However long Moses sat at the foot of his mother, it was long enough for her to instill in him a love for Jehovah God. It was long enough for her to model a life lived in obedience to God, following hard after God. It was long enough for Moses to be able to desire himself to please and to follow God, regardless of the consequences. I can't tell you how long Moses sat at the feet of his mother, but apparently it was long enough for her to pass her faith on to him. Folks, that is the power that a mother has. The power to pass on the faith. However long he was at his mother's feet, when it became necessary, Moses made his choice, and he chose to follow God, to obey God, to suffer affliction with God's people rather than to enjoy all of the pleasures that Egypt afforded to him. Why? Because of the faith that he learned at home. And so, Mom, you have a tremendous opportunity to leave a lasting heritage of faith for your children and for your family. You have the chance to choose the good path for them to follow. You can set an example of what a surrendered life, a life surrendered to Jesus Christ, looks like. You have a chance to model for them the life that God wants them to live as well. Just as I think Jochebed must have done. Now you might be thinking, but Pastor Tim, you just don't understand how hard my situation is. And you're right, I don't. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know how hard your situation is. But I doubt that it can be any worse than what Jochebed's situation was. But there's one thing about Jochebed. She had God's help. Why? Because Jochebed had a faith in God. She trusted in Jehovah. She had a life and a walk of faith where she lived in obedience to Jehovah. Now, why do all this? Why go to all this trouble? Why risk your life? Why swim upstream against Pharaoh's commands? Why risk being put to death? Why would Jochebed do such a thing? And I think the answer is the same for her as it was for the midwives. Exodus chapter 1 and verse 17. But the midwives feared God, and did not, as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. These four godly women in the life of Moses, all four of them feared God. All four of them believed that God was worth serving, that God is worth obeying. And they did. They obeyed. And look at what happened. Most of us will have probably 18 years with our children still living under our roof to be able to instill the Christian faith in them. I don't know how long Jochebed had. Her time may have been shorter, which made her time all the more important. But she did it. She was able to pass the faith along to her son. He claimed it as his own, and then he walked in obedience to God, even though he was raised in a pagan home. It can be done. It can be done. Moms, what a wonderful opportunity God's given to you. So you ask, well, how do I go about it? How do I do this? How do I pass the faith along? How do I instill the faith in my children? Well, the first step is you need to have a relationship with God. And you can only come into that relationship with God by having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Only by trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior can you begin this process of passing the faith along. You can't pass along something that you don't have. You must have that faith and then pass it on to your children. And so if you want to pass the faith along, your starting point is by receiving Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit us on the web at www.monclovabaptist.org.